Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we are studying Perek Chaf Hei of Malachim Bet. Perek Chaf Hei is the final Perek of Malachim Bet and the final events leading up to and including the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the exile to Bavel. All four of the fast days related to the Beit HaMikdash originate from this Perek: Asara B'Tevet, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, Tzom Gedalia, and Tisha B'Av. We already met Tzidkiyahu at the end of last Perek, the final king of Yehuda, and we were told he did not follow the ways of Hashem. We are not told much of the events of his first 9 years of rule. In some ways, whatever happened then was inconsequential once Hashem already decided the Churban is to happen. He is mentioned in Sefer Yirmiyahu as well, as I referenced in the discussion of Perek Chaf Dalet. Our Perek begins with a familiar date, the 10th day of the 10th month, which is Tevet. Asara B'Tevet was when the siege was laid on Yerushalayim. This siege lasted 3 years, for Tzidkiyahu's 9th, 10th, and 11th years. Enough time to give the people an opportunity to do tshuva when they realized this was really happening. Then Psukim Gimel and Dalet mention the 9th day when the famine was severe. The month we are referring to here is the month of Tammuz, per Sefer Yirmiyahu. The day famously known as the breaking through of the wall is Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, according to the Mishnah and Tanit, but here it says it happened on the 9th, which is the correct date. The Gemara in Tanit 28b resolves this by explaining that the wall was broken through on the 9th of Tammuz for the first Beit HaMikdash and the 17th of Tammuz for the second. We fast nowadays based on the date of the second Beit HaMikdash, since it was the one that led to the Galut that we are still experiencing today. To fast on both days would be unbearable. The Gemara Yerushalmi says, actually, the wall for the first Beit HaMikdash was also broken through on the 17th of Tammuz, but due to the turbulent times, the wrong date was calculated by the people. Tzidkiyahu is captured in Pasuk Vav after cowardly trying to escape Yerushalayim to save his own life and is brought before Nebuchadnezzar. His sons are killed in front of him, and then they blind him and bound him in chains and take him to Bavel. This is the antithesis of that which is normally promised to a successful leader, such as what was fulfilled when David witnessed Shlomo ascend the throne. When he thanks Hashem, Asher Natan Hayom Yoshev Al Kis'i Ve'enai Ro'ot, that I get to see my son sit on my throne, I get to see it myself. Here there was no continuation to see. This is fulfillment of the Nevuah told to Yechezkel in Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Yud Gimel of Sefer Yechezkel, Uparasti et Rishti Alav, I will spread my net on him, Vinitpas b'mitzudati, he will be caught in my trap, Veheveti oto bavela, Eretz Kazdim, Veota lo yireh, Visham yamut. I will bring him to the land of Bavel, but he will not see it, and he will die there. Tzidkiyahu had refused to believe Yirmiyahu's words concerning submission to Bavel. This is because during the same time, there were false prophets that were disseminating more palatable messages about overthrowing Babylonian rule. Hananya ben Azor was one of these false prophets that Yirmiyahu had to contend with. Yirmiyahu even walked around Yerushalayim with an ol, a yoke around his neck, in Perek Chaf Zayin of Sefer Yirmiyahu, to try to drive home the message and the imperative of surrendering to Bavel. On the 7th day of the 5th month, the month of Av, Nebuzaradan comes to Yerushalayim. According to the Radak and others, the timeline was as follows. Bavel comes on the 7th, ate and drank on the 8th and part of the 9th of Av, and then burnt the Beit HaMikdash on the 9th, close to nighttime, and it burned until the end of the 10th day of Av. In Sefer Yirmiyahu, Perek Nun Bet, it says, Be'esor Lachodesh, going by the date of the burning. Even though the Beit HaMikdash burned more on the 10th than on the 9th of Av, we commemorate the fast on the day in which the burning began, as the Gemara in Ta'anit instructs. The Psukim then delineate all the people and objects that Nebuzaradan took with him back to Bavel. Just like the many Psukim dedicated to the construction of the Beit HaMikdash in the days of Shlomo, This perek details the unfortunate deconstruction of the glory of the Beit HaMikdash. Some of the poorest people were left to work as farmers. The ones he took with him, head Kohanim, people in high army positions, and other high-ranking officials were killed by the king in Bavel. Nebuchadnezzar appoints Gedaliah ben Achikam as leader over the Jews who remained in Eretz Yehuda. He tells the people not to fear the Kazdim if they serve them and don't revolt. In Yirmiyahu Perek Mem, he reports being chained by Nebuzaradan and given the choice of going to Bavel or going to Gedaliah in Mitzpah. In Pasuk Vav, Yirmiyahu goes to Gedaliah and many Sarei HaChayalim join. Gedaliah tells the people to be obedient and not fear, and that they should tend to the land and he will remain in Mitzpah to interface with the Kazdim. And many Jews who had been hiding out in neighboring countries like Ammon, Moab, and Edom returned to Yehuda under Gedaliah. There was the genuine possibility that Jewish life could continue in Israel and they could begin rebuilding their lives. However, this was not how it went down. At that time, Yochanan ben Kereach told Gedaliah that word had it that the king of Ammon was sending Yishmael ben Netanya to assassinate him. But Gedaliah didn't believe it. Yochanan even offered to kill Yishmael in order to run interference with this plan. He was aware that the remnant in Yehuda would be finished if something happened to Gedaliah. However, Gedaliah told Yochanan ben Kereach that it was sheker, what he was speaking about Yishmael. The story continues in greater detail in Yirmiyahu, Perek Mem Aleph, and in our Perek, in Pasuk Chav Hei. In the seventh month, in Tishrei, the assassination of Gedaliah takes place. Radak in Yirmiyahu says this was on Rosh Chodesh itself, on Rosh Hashanah. We commemorate this tragedy on Gimel Tishrei on the third, as fasting is prohibited on the first 2 days, which are Rosh Hashanah. This horrible act could have been motivated by opposition to joining forces with the enemy. We are also informed of a pivotal piece of information regarding Yishmael ben Netanya, the assassinator, that he was Mizera Hamlucha, from the royal family. He was jealous, possibly, that this position of leadership was not awarded to a member of his family. This could be why he was able to be persuaded to carry out the order from the king of Ammon, as mentioned in Sefer Yirmiyahu. In Pasuk Chaf Vav, in our Perek, we're told that the people that remained in Israel fled to Egypt. Yirmiyahu in Prakim Mem Bet, Mem Gimel, and Mem Dalet tells the continuation of the story in detail of Yishmael ben Netanya's continued cruelty and how these remaining Jews ended up leaving Yehuda and going to Egypt, and their refusal to listen to Hashem's words as communicated to them via Yirmiyahu. Nebuchadnezzar did capture them there eventually, so their sense of security in Egypt was misplaced. And so ended the Jewish presence in Yehuda at this time. The Perek ends off as promised with the fate of Yehoyachin, Melech Yehuda, who had been incarcerated in Bavel during the Galut Cheresh Umazger. 30 years later, after Visgalut, which is 26 years from the Churban, in the 12th month, Nebuchadnezzar died and Evil-Merodach took the throne and nullifies Nebuchadnezzar's decrees and releases Yehoyachin from jail. The Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah, which we mentioned also in last Perek, says Yehoyachin did tshuva while in jail and was now viewed more favorably by Hashem than he was back in Perek Chaf Dalet. He was fed by the king regularly, Kol Yimei Chayav, all the days of his life. There is a machloket over whether the days referred to here are the rest of Evel Merodach's life or Yehoyachin's. And the more commonly accepted view is it is referring to Yehoyachin's life. The phrase Nasa et Rosh that is used here was also used when talking about the Sar Hamashkim, the butler in jail with Yosef in Egypt, that was also reinstated in his position with Paro. Here, too, we can view this as Yehoyachin is reinstated in his former prestigious position. Shlomo had also pleaded with Hashem, when the Beit HaMikdash was first built, for Hashem to remain with the Jewish nation and in this house, Dvar Yom B'Yomo, every day. Here, too, this phrase appears in the last pasuk of the Sefer, when talking about being fed by the king daily. Ve'aruchato aruchat tamid nitna lo me'et hamelech Dvar Yom B'Yomo. Kol Yimei Chayav. The mention of this phrase, last mentioned in Malachim Aleph Perek Chet, connects this Perek's events back to the original hopes and dreams for the nation that were expressed by Shlomo HaMelech in the beginning of Malachim Aleph and answered in some means by Hashem here. The Ralbag explains this ending with a recap of the entire Sefer, showing the theme of Schar Va'onesh, reward and punishment, and Hashem rewarding tzaddikim and punishing Rishaim based on their actions. In this last example, due to Yehoyachin's alleged tshuva, he is once again treated as royalty, as Perek Chafhei concludes. And so instead of ending the Sefer with the unfortunate Galut and events related to Gedaliah's death and the end of Jewish rule in Israel, Sefer Melachim Bet ends with a glimmer of hope, a demonstration of Hashem's eternal mercy, with Kavod being given to Malchut Beit David, which we know will be reinstated when Mashiach ben David arrives, Bimhei Rabbi Amenu. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.